Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Richard Blackstone, who you might recall was a guest on this program at the end of last year. He has written a book which he self-published called Nuts and Bolts Spirituality, which he believes helps to wake up the sleepwalkers, and he also believes that he can make a difference to our individual lives. So, can I welcome Richard onto the program? Are you there?
I am, Mike. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
I know it wasn't a long time ago that you were with us, but has anything exciting happened to you?
Oh, life is always exciting to me. I'm doing more workshops and stuff. I'm just having a ball, Mike, creating more venues so that I can spread this message out to help people wake up to their true authentic selves. And I'm just really having a good time doing it.
Oh, that's great to hear, Mike. Good. You're an excellent speaker, and this is why I welcomed having you back on the program. Now, what I'd like to start what you refer to as a three-part message, I wanted to take each part in turn and get you to speak about it. Now, the first part of it was love who we are. And, of course, we all know that there are people that don't actually love themselves. Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, you know, when I started out on my spiritual journey, I really started questioning exactly what's the foundations that I really want to put under myself so that I'm really on solid ground when I talk to people about, my life and how it's changed in so many ways. And the first concept that just kept coming back at me all the time was this concept of love. And, you know, Mike, it's even more than just this idea of love. It's the idea of unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, because we're raised in a world where love has so many meanings and labels attached to it. But when you throw in the moniker of unconditional love, then all of a sudden you get a whole different concept of what we're talking about when we say love.
Yeah.
And so the first part of my message, and this is the message that I live, Mike, every day, is this idea that every one of us, our true authentic selves, is made up entirely of unconditional love. That's the core of our being. And so that's kind of the bedrock of where I come from. And when you tap into unconditional love by the simple process of loving yourself unconditionally, then all of a sudden you fill yourself with the power of that love, and it's really a transformative process.
Yes. Looking back, where do you think it all went wrong then, if we are this being of unconditional love with that potential?
Well, you know, Mike, I there is no right or wrong in my world, that is. And the reason I say that is because, you know, everybody is creating their world according to their perspectives. And so everybody's perspective is honored, that's the world that I'm living in, because the world I live in is based in the paradigm of love rather than fear. So what happened is, it's kind of historical, Mike. We live in a dualistic universe, so we have the option of living within two different belief systems. And one belief system is based on the idea that we're separate from each other and separate from this planet that sustains us and separate from the source of our existence, this idea or concept that most people call God. So that's one of the paradigms of life, and if you base your belief system on that, you're going to believe one way. The other paradigm is based on the idea of love and that we're all one with everything in existence, just like our source is. And so this idea, this belief system, comes from the concept that everything comes from the source. And, you and I are part of the everything, so we all came from the source. And we are all part of the source. And so when you believe in a base belief system that is based in oneness and the idea of unconditional love, then you're going to look at life another way. So now here's the reason that you could say, well, it kind of went wrong back there, is because when we enter this physical universe, you know, what you do is you make an agreement with God to voluntarily forget who you really are. You know, you're actually this spiritual being. So when you enter this planet of physicality, then you are at free choice as to which belief system you are going to live your life under. And basically how you develop your belief system is by the first mentors that you know, typically your mother and father. So whatever belief system they have, that's pretty much the way you're going to believe. And for the last couple thousand years of recorded history, this world has had a collective consciousness that has created a dominant belief system in the idea that we're separate from each other. And this idea of separation has played itself out, throughout our history, and you can see it in the wars we have and the destruction of this planet. It's all based in a fear-based paradigm of life. So there's no right or wrong about why we're here. It's just that we are in this position, but we can change it at any time. And that's what I'm excited about, because I really think I'm an agent of change.
Yes. Now, I would think it would be true to say that the majority of people have a foot in each world. What would be their incentive to, say, move out of duality back towards the source?
Well, the real incentive for me is, man, life is just so much better. Because, you know, I have seen both sides, Mike. I mean, I lived the first 40 years of my life. I basically, you know, lived under the paradigm that I thought I was separate from everything. And I had this idea that, you know, life was happening to me, and I had to kind of react to it.
Yeah.
And I was pretty frustrated most of the time, because I was always seeking this ideal called success. And I would, get glimpses of it, and I'd, make some money, and because that's, you know, the way I define success. But I wasn't really happy that much, in the sense that I had a lot of inner peace. And so when I got on my spiritual path, and I really focused in on this concept of my spiritual beingness and moving into a paradigm of love-based living, I have been able to shift the way I look at life, and I now believe in the belief system that's based in love and oneness. So I can tell you, because I've experienced both sides of the fence, you know, this is just my truth. But you know, Mike, my truth comes from my experience, and it's the same with everybody listening to these words. Everybody has their own truth about life. And the way you develop your truths is through your life experiences. So my life experiences have allowed me to see both sides of the two theories of the universe, the love-based paradigm and the fear-based paradigm. From my experience, I can tell you that living in a paradigm of life that says you're one with all things is just a much easier way to live life. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because of this last part of this three-part message, this idea of creation. It's just a lot easier to create the life of your intentions and desires when you come from a idea that you're a spiritual being tapped into the power of the source of all that is. And so it all ties together, you know, and when you believe yourself to be one with the source, then all of a sudden you have the power of the source, and you're able to create pretty much in an effortless manner.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the fact that we obviously are guided in our early years by our parents or people that are close around us, and I think it would be true to say that against other people, and we see outside of ourselves that the laws also punish people. Now, unconditional love would say no judgments, no punishment, because the biggest judge of any person is themselves. Now, how do we get that message over to people?
Well, you know, here's the deal on the spiritual journey. The one thing I love about this idea of living your life in a spiritual manner is that you do it individually. And, you know, so you don't have to depend on guidance from any organizations or any religions or anything like that. Your journey is your own, and you create your own truths out of it. But your truths come to you in a very effortless manner once you understand that you can go within and find anything that you desire in life. So to really stem the tide of the collective consciousness of humanity, we need each individual to start asking their own personal questions about this overriding concept of who am I? And yeah. Once you start asking yourself that question and really examine your life, then the answers will start coming to you. And it's all, kind of based on this idea of the law of attraction. If you really start putting your attention on trying to understand yourself, then the universe will provide the answers. And it's a fascinating journey, too.
Right. So following on that question, people will say, why am I here?
Yes.
And often they can't find any reason for it.
Yes, I know. And, they're absolutely right. There's no real, giant purpose for an individual life, except to experience life in all of its different perspectives. You know, basically, that is the mission of every human on Earth, is just to experience life in any manner that you choose, because it's the experiences that are the whole reason that the universe exists at all. And so your purpose in life is to go out and play and have fun, unless you don't want to. it's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
You get to set the course for your life. And unfortunately, a lot of the conditioning that we go through in the world today, especially from the TV and the newspapers, they pretty much have conditioned to us to believe that we're supposed to work hard, we're supposed to buy all these material possessions, and that somehow is going to make us happy. And so all this conditioning just basically keeps us in the mode of fear and separation, and it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that I've woken up to this reality that you can change the course of your life, and all it takes is the idea that you want to change. It's all intention and desire.
Right. So if we accept that, which I do, of course, that we're here to experience, and we choose what we like to experience, then what is the goal? I mean, people normally would do that, and they would feel that there's something at the end of it. There's a gain for them.
Well, once again, when you say those words, I hear the conditioning coming out again. Somehow we're all supposed to believe there is an end, reason for all this to happen. And basically, there is no end, because here's the deal. You are an eternal being. So there is no end to this game. Given this physical life form, we can go in and out of physicality. You can experience this thing called your physical death.
Yeah.
But you who you really are doesn't die. It just goes on to another form.
Indeed.
And so this concept of, what's the goal? What are we all striving for? Is really a misnomer, and it's perpetuated by this concept of separation and fear.
Yeah.
Because you, as part of the source, understand that there is no end to this game. So therefore, if there is no end, then the real reason is to create experiences that you really desire. That's the magic goal, because that's never ending too. Because once you manifest that real big desire into your life, then there's something else that you desire, and that's the beauty of life. Is you're never going to run out of desires. And if you play the game right, you can create every one of them into your life.
But would you say that if we set our goal on becoming able to live in unconditional love, that
yes.
is actually something that we can grow towards.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm the living example, Mike.
Yeah.
I am the living example that anybody can move out of fear and separation into love and oneness. And when you do, you know, you're going to see your life change before your very eyes. Because, you know, my book, Nuts and Bolts Spirituality, subtitle is called Waking Up the Sleepwalkers. And the reason I wrote that, Mike, is because I was definitely a sleepwalker, for about the first 40 years of my life. And so I am the living example that anybody can change the way they want to live their lives. And
right.
all it takes is desire and commitment. And so you have to kind of want it, and then you have to make the choice to commit yourself to doing the things it's going to take to change the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, because it's all based in your thoughts. And
right.
so you can't continue thinking the same way and expect different results. You know, that's kind of the definition of insanity. And you don't want that. So what you have to really understand that you are going to have to change.
Yeah.
Do you
believe that when we make those type of choices that we send some type of signal out to, say, discarnate entities that help us in ways which we might not always be aware? I mean, you could say such as your guardian angel. Do you believe in that aspect?
Absolutely. You know, whether you call it a guardian angel or spirit guides or whatever, the way the universe works is that when you set an intention and you put it out there, and then you focus your attention on your intention, then that does invoke the guides in the universe to really start sending to you that which you are putting your attention on. So I absolutely believe, we are being helped and guided all the time.
Yes. Now, you've spoken about creating, say, a new self, but I believe you also have said that we can create a better world.
Yes.
So how do we do that as a collective when we're working, as it were, as individuals?
Yes. Well, you know, same thing. It all starts with you. Everything starts with the individual. You know, you can't change the collective without changing the individuals before the collective, because the collective, come from individual thought patterns. So really, that's why I'm so proud of shows like yours, Mike, where you're reaching the people, these large audiences, and spreading this message that every person listening to these words is so important to the world right now.
Yeah.
Because what you do as far as improving your life is ultimately improving the life of every person on this planet. And this all stems, of course, from the idea that, yes, we are all one. Because what you do for another, you know, you do for yourself. And what you do for yourself, you're doing for all others. And so everything that you do in your life affects everything else in life. So you are the critical point of reference here. But this idea that we are going to shift the collective consciousness of all of humanity is pretty exciting. And it's been fairly well documented that there is a rise in the collective consciousness of humanity at this point in our history.
Yes.
So it's a pretty exciting time to be on planet Earth.
Absolutely,
and,
yes, I agree.
Yes. And you know, we are moving into a higher level of consciousness. And here's the deal, Mike. You know, it doesn't take like 51% of the people to change their belief systems. You know, there's this thing called critical mass. It's a very mathematical thing that's been, you know, used throughout time. And what happens is when you reach critical mass, then the collective of humanity just kind of makes an automatic shift. It's kind of goes into the morphogenic field, and everybody gets it.
Yeah.
And you know, it only takes about 3 to 5% of the population to reach critical mass.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you're talking about very doable numbers. And I talk about this a lot when I give workshops and stuff, because I can chart it out on graphs and stuff, and it's really exciting to me because that's the way we're moving right now as a collective species, and
yeah.
and it's pretty exciting.
I agree with you entirely about that. Now, you were inspired, one, by Neil Donald Walsh, and secondly, by Derek Chopra. And what I would like to do, mainly for the rest of the program, is to have a look at Derek Chopra's 10 Keys to Active Mastery, which I believe, I'm correct in saying, had quite an influence on your own development and probably your thinking.
You know, I love Deepak. He's one of my favorite teachers and mentors. And, you know, actually, Deepak is the one that I first was introduced to that started me on the spiritual path that I'm on today. And the book that really turned me on was one of his earlier books. It's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And it's not a very big book, but man, I'll tell you, those seven spiritual laws. You know, I was pretty much sleepwalking when I ran across Deepak, and he was doing a PBS fundraiser.
Yeah.
And I listened to him, and I thought, man, everything he said made sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I was motivated enough to go out and buy that little book. And when I started reading that book, I knew I was onto something, Mike. And it gives me chills right now just to talk about it because...
I know how you feel.
Now, yeah, exactly.
What I'd like to do, Richard, is I found out of the 10, although we may well have time to discuss them all, four that I think are very important. So I'll read them off and ask for you to enlighten us about them. Not in any particular order of importance, but the first one I come to is take time to be silent, to meditate, to quiet the internal dialogue.
Yes. This is really important on your spiritual journey, Mike, because what we're doing is you need to, every so often, really connect with your source. And yeah. when you do that, you tap into this source energy that really transforms the way you look at life. And one of the best ways to do that is to go within yourself and experience the silence and get away from the stimuli and environment of this physical relative world and go back to being absolutely one with your source. And this is what the meditative process does. It allows you to really go deeply in the silence where your spirit dwells, you know, because your spirit doesn't need a lot of language or noise to communicate with you. It communicates with feelings.
Yes.
And so this allows you to go deep within yourself and tap into that all-powerful being that resides with you at all times. And to me, it's a fantastic process. And you know, I not only do it silently, Mike, but, you know, I also love to, like, walk in nature and do what I call active meditation. You know, where I just kind of walk and observe nature, and boy, that is so powerful. And you know, I know you love walking in nature too. So.
Yeah. Well, I think what that does for you when you think about it is, it tells you of the oneness of everything, not just of human beings, but of things in nature. You can see how they are all connected and reliant on each other.
You just said it. You hit the nail on the head. It really shows you in vivid detail the interconnectedness of all of life. I mean, you see the birds getting along with the worms and the trees and the rivers, the water. Everything connects. Everything is interdependent. Yeah. And just because we have a belief system that says we're separate from all that, that is not the truth of your being. You are one with all that. And boy, that's exciting because nature is such a wonderful teacher.
Yes. And it's sad in that event that man unwittingly does so much harm to it, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes. We're such interesting creatures. But, you know, it all stems from that idea of separation and fear. Because, you know, when you think that you are separate from the planet, then you don't take any responsibility for, you know, plundering the planet. and you know, when you don't take responsibility, then you can justify all manner of behaviors, you know, including killing your fellow man. That all comes from this idea that you think you're separate. You know, if you believe that you are one with all things, then you would not even consider killing another person. It just wouldn't.
Absolutely.
It makes no sense because you're killing part of yourself.
Absolutely, yes. I also think that the materialistic world that we live in also encourages us to be greedy and feel that there is insufficient around us for our needs, whereas I believe everything we need is already there.
Exactly. No. Everything that we could ever desire is available to us. Mm. And, you know, that once again, we have been conditioned so much to believe that there's just only so much stuff to go around. And because of that conditioning, we have created this idea of need and greed and all the things that come part and parcel with that. You know, they're all natural consequences of this idea of separation and need. And so, you know, when you understand that you're one with the source is infinite energy and infinite intelligence, and so there is nothing that the source cannot provide for you.
Yes.
And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you may not always get what you think you want, but you'll get what you need.
There you go. Hey, that sounds like a good song.
Yeah. I'll take up writing music then.
There you go.
Let's come to another one of Derek Chopra's, Deepak Chopra's points here. He's one of his keys to active mastery. When you find yourself reacting with anger or opposition to any person or circumstance, realize that you are only struggling with yourself. Now, I think anger is something people find very difficult to control. What's your views or answers to that one?
Deepak is right on again. You know, when you react with anger to somebody, basically you are demonstrating that you're angry with yourself. You are truly demonstrating your separateness from all other things, because anger is really a deeply seated emotion of fear. And so what you are fearing is not so much the other person or the situation, it's you. You always demonstrate exactly what you are feeling inside. And so when you are full of anger, then basically your life has those kind of angry attachments to it, and you're just lashing out with what you know, which is kind of a nice thing to understand is that, you know, there's nobody at fault here or anything. It's just that you don't really understand yourself. And, you know, all the avatars told us that the main problem in the world today, if there is such a thing as problem, is this thing called ignorance. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're stupid. I'm saying you're just ignorant of this idea of who you really are. And when you live within that ignorance, then you react with the base paradigm of fear and separation, and it just all builds on itself, and that's the natural consequence of this deep misunderstanding about life.
I would imagine that a lot of the problem is that people have these egos, and what happens is there's something around them that makes their ego say, hey, do you really want to put up with that? Aren't you going to do something about it? Now, on the other side of the scales is unconditional love. Now, how do you move from one to the other?
Well, it's a choice. Because, you know, just like we talked a little earlier, everything in life is that we live in this dualistic universe. So everything in life has an opposite. And, you know, the ego is the part of yourself that dwells in separation and fear. And the opposite of the ego is this thing called your spirit. And it, of course, dwells in love and oneness. And your ego is, is very boisterous. It likes to have its way.
Absolutely.
You know, but your ego, it always lives in the past or in the future. And your spirit always dwells in the present moment. So if you are getting a message in a present moment situation that seems to serve you, that's probably coming from the spirit part of your beingness. But when you get a message that tells you to do something outside of yourself, that's typically the ego talking to you. And the ego gets us in so much trouble. But it's just it's the natural consequence of living within a belief system that says you're separate. So.
And that would include, I guess, having a false pride about things, where you become hurt by any comments that appear to be against your own views of what you are and who you are.
Yeah, because you have a vested interest in your opinion, you know.
Yeah.
Because when you're separate from each other, it's your opinion. And
yeah.
So, you know, it is interesting how we really want everybody to conform to the way we are. And then you look at your life, you see it's all screwed up, and go, God, you want everybody to be like that?
Yeah. Okay. Right, let's move on to another area here. This is the third one that I feel is important, to me anyway, out of the four.
Yes, I love them, yeah.
And this is now dealing really with the physical side of life. And Deepak Chopra said, don't contaminate your body with toxins, either through food, drink, or toxic emotions. Well, of course, we've just been talking about the latter. But how about this? What about food and drink?
Well, you know, I'm very, very, I've gone into a real important period of my life where I want to experience total wellness at all time, and so I actually took a year or two out of my life just to really focus on wellness, and you know, just more than even having a healthy body, but a healthy mind and a healthy spirit. And through that year or two of research, I found some amazing things that we really are doing to ourselves, especially our physical bodies. That are just, it's really insane. But you know, your body is designed to live, and there's a system within you, within your physical body. It's called your immune system. And really, when you take care of your immune system, then you can live in excellent physical health your whole life. And here's what I found when I really started studying this. Is that, first of all, you need to drink a lot of water, you know, because your body's made up of 75-80% water. And when you don't drink a lot of water, what happens is you dehydrate yourself. And how that happens is your cells, you know, dehydrate individually. And the way I like to look at it is like a grape. You know, when your cells are all hydrated, they're nice and plump and juicy. And when you don't drink enough water, they become like a raisin. You know, they really, the water seeps out and they just don't function as well.
Right.
So water's important, but what you eat is so critical to the whole system. And my research has told me that there's two big paradigms you can live by. One is by living with a plant-based, organic-based diet. And that really builds and helps your immune system. And the other is a more meat-based diet, and that actually attacks your immune system.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's totally your choice how you want to live your life and what you want to eat. But I can guarantee you that if you want to have a robust, vital, healthy body, then you really need to take a look at what you're putting inside of it. And that's just the food cycle, but, you know, as Deepak said, boy, the emotions, too, because emotions will kill you. The idea of prolonged bouts of hate, it has been shown scientifically that it just kills you. It's deadly.
Yeah.
So I think
people who go through that type of experience must realize it themselves, because even the slightest touch of anger or irritation, I believe you can actually feel harming your body.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, you could just feel your vibration, and it's very interesting. You know, they're doing a lot of studies with kinesiology and muscle testing, stuff like that. And they know that when you are in emotions like anger and fear, then you lose muscle strength. And when you are in emotions like love and joy and kindness, then you are actually your muscle strength is very strong. It's 100%. Anything in the fear-based emotions is less than 100%. So it's really fascinating that your emotions
now,
really.
There has been a lot of investigation into the consciousness of water. I can't think of the Japanese guy's name now, something like
Komodo
or something. Oh, right. And you're saying, which other people have said, of course, this is not a new revelation, that you need to drink lots of water. But in that case, it also, I believe, tells us that the water needs to be pure as well.
Yes, isn't that fascinating? I mean, Dr. Emoto's studies blew me away. And if you read his book, you know, it's a very spiritual book. I mean, you pick it up, you think you're going to read about water, but what he goes into is this idea that, it's not just water, but it's got to be good, clean, pure water.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can actually change the water by how you talk to the water.
Yeah.
And this demonstrates so vividly that we are so connected and interconnected to everything that our actual words can change the way water appears on these crystal slides. It is so fascinating, and it just shows the interconnectedness of all of life.
Yeah.
So I love his studies.
I guess many years ago, or time back, people must have realized something of that nature without understanding how it happened, because we've always had this idea that if we bless water, that it's more healing.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, what's happening is the scientists are now revealing to us what the mystics have told us for centuries. You know, isn't that cool? I mean, the avatars told us all this stuff, you know, millennia ago, but now the scientists are going, everything's interconnected, everything's made of this one thing called energy, and so it is fascinating that it's all coming around in a big circle.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Mike, that kind of ties into this this rise in consciousness that our planet's going through, too.
Yeah.
Everything's coming together.
Yeah. It takes time, I think, for scientists to come around to the spiritual way of thinking, because obviously they have to prove it to themselves, whereas some people can accept it on face value.
Exactly. And you know, the beauty and mystery of this world is that, you know, everything that is in the seen world comes from the unseen world. So it's really hard for a scientist to put a measurement device on something that they can't even see. But, you know, here's again that's fascinating to me is the law of attraction that says, you know, the more you put your attention on something, the more you'll understand it. And that's, I think that's what's happening with our scientists. They're putting so much attention on these really esoteric kind of ideas that the ideas are revealing themselves to the scientists in a scientific manner. And so it really is fascinating to me all the time when they come up with these new discoveries and ways to measure what used to be a very mystical concept.
Yes. Now, I'll come now to the fourth one of the keys of Deepak Chopra. We might look at some of the others as well, but the fourth one I have here is replace fear-motivated behavior with love-motivated behavior, and it just goes on to say, fear is the product of memory which dwells in the past.
Yes, you know, when you get on your spiritual path, one of the first things I understood very clearly that, you know, when you're living as a sleepwalker, your past pretty much is very important to what you want to do in the future. And when I started waking up to my true authentic self, I understood that, you know, your past is just your past. It has nothing to do with what you want to do in your future unless you choose for it to.
Yeah.
And so it's really a very liberating thing to do to put more of your focus on what you want out of life, where you want to go, who you want to be, what you want to experience in life, and really put less of your focus. In fact, I don't even hardly think of my past except to kind of laugh at it sometimes.
Yeah.
But, here's one of the keys to creating the life of your deepest desires is to create a vision for yourself of what you want out of life and just keep moving towards that vision. And so when you do that, you just kind of have to give up the past because it's not going to help you get there. What's going to help you get there is by focusing on what you desire in the future.
Yes. Well, Deepak said that remembering what hurt us before, we direct our energies towards making certain that an old hurt will not repeat itself. So what we're really looking at, I guess, is forgiveness of self and, of course, eventually others. And this
Absolutely.
Takes us on this path, doesn't it, to understand oneness.
Yes. And forgiveness is such a key. It's just one of those fantastic concepts that when you really use the concept of forgiveness, then you have to eventually end up with unconditional love because that's what forgiveness is.
Yeah,
it's this whole concept in motion. And, the Course in Miracles, this is forgiveness is like the thing you can do to shift your life paradigm. And I totally agree with them. And it all starts with you. You know, forgive yourself. Quit being so hard on yourself. I mean, if you only knew what a beautiful, magnificent being of light that you actually are, you just would quit abusing yourself the way we've been conditioned to do in life.
Yeah. I think that leads on very nicely to one of the other keys, which said, live in the present, for it is the only moment you have.
Yeah. Isn't that a cool concept? I'm sure you read Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, and boy, that book just so powerful. And this idea that, there really is no past and there is no future. When you really kind of think about this, the only thing there really is the present moment of now.
Yeah,
because there's no physical place called the past. There's no physical place called the future. And the only thing that exists is exactly what's happening right now. And you're creating it in every present moment of now. So we are these fantastic creators. And once you really get this concept of living in the present, then all of a sudden, a lot of these ideas about your power and your creative abilities really start to surface because you see in the present moment that whatever you do in the present is what's going to happen in your immediate future. And so it really ties it all together in the creative process.
But
it's a concept you have to nurture.
He also said, listen to your body's wisdom, which expresses itself through signals of comfort and discomfort. Have you experienced that yourself?
Absolutely. One of the my favorite mentors came up with this thing that I've been working on for the last couple of years, and it's this idea that, everything in life is feelings, and basically there's two feelings. One that feels good and one that feels bad. There's a whole range, of those feelings. But the key to you really enjoying your life is to always try to stay within the good feelings. And it just all makes sense because that's where love is. And so if you just really kind of take some quality commitment and just focus on your feelings and how you feel during the day, and when you're feeling bad, then try to think a thought that'll take you back to feeling good, and you'll see this process evolve and where you're just feeling better all the time, and when you do that, you're experiencing love all the time. And because love is the good feeling and fear is the kind of the bad feeling. And so it to me, that's very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Deepak also said, relinquish your need for external approval. You are alone. You alone are the judge of your worth, and your goal is to discover infinite worth in yourself, no matter what anyone else thinks. I thought that was an excellent bit of advice.
Oh, man, if we would just live that way.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, we're all so conditioned to actually think, you know, we're supposed to do whatever people tell us to do. And this is just so counterintuitive to the spiritual agenda. Because your spirit, you know, knows all your truth. If you just go within yourself and connect with your spirit, you'll discover your truth. But, you know, in the world we live in today, because it is so based on this idea of separation and fear, that we have just been conditioned to accept other people's words as our own truth. And this has been the cause of the downfall of humanity for the last 2,000 years of recorded history. You know, when we allow somebody else to tell us how we should be, you are giving up your freedom. You know, basically, you are an unlimited being of light, and when you allow others to tell you what to do or how to think, then you are basically limiting yourself into just living the way that they tell you to. And it's just, you know, it's very frustrating, and that's the reason that people live in so much anger and frustration, is because they can't live up to what somebody else has told them is the way they should be.
Indeed,
And they shouldn't have to. You know, so that's another reason that I strongly urge people to explore the spiritual journey, because the spiritual journey is based on kind of a solo adventure. You know, you're still part of humanity, but you understand that it's your path, it's your adventure that's important, and so you start prioritizing yourself, and when you do that, all of a sudden, your own truth start coming to the surface and revealing themselves.
Yes.
And then the key, of course, is to live your truth. You know, don't give up on them. Experience them.
Yes. Now, there's also one here that I think is very pertinent, where Deepak said that know that the world out there reflects your reality in here. The people you react to most strongly, whether with love or hate, are projections of your inner world. What you most hate is what you most deny in yourself. What you most love is what you most wish for yourself. I think that those are terrific statements there, and very revealing about the nature of people.
It's very revealing. So, you know, if you take that to heart and you just kind of examine your own beingness, you know, how are you experiencing yourself in the world? Are you experiencing a lot of anger and frustration? Then, you know, basically what you are doing is revealing to the world what's inside of you. You know, you can't put the blame on somebody else for making you angry. Being angry is a choice. Every emotion is a choice. And unfortunately, we make most of our choices about which emotion we choose to experience in an automatic fashion. We don't even think about it. We just go right to anger. You know, if we see a circumstance that we've experienced before and we've got angry before, then we immediately go into anger. And this does not serve you. You know, I'll tell you a little story, Mike. You know, I, of course, you know, experienced all that stuff when I was sleepwalking. And one day I heard this story about, it's called The Parable of the Orange. And what you do is you cut an orange open, you squeeze it real hard, and, you know, what comes out? But orange juice, right? And why is that? Well, because that's what's inside of an orange.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I heard that, you know, so, you know, if you react to people with anger and frustration and fear, well, then basically that's what's inside of you. You know, that's what's going to come out and hurt. So, you know, when I heard that story, I go, I said to myself, well, what if I was so full of love that no matter how people attacked me or confronted me, what would come out of me is love.
Yeah.
And right then and there, you know, I just started saying love, 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 and I really got into it. And, you know, I made a real commitment to myself from that point forward, just from listening to that one little story. I said, you know, I'm going to fill myself full of love, that no matter how people come on to me, I will just react with love. And it has served me so well, Mike. But, you know, it's a process. You know, I continually have to do it because I'm a human, too, doing this human game. And, you know, every once in a while I'll feel a little frustration come up. But then I, because I'm living more consciously, I'm able to tell myself, well, you know, what would love do now? And, boy, if you just keep that as a question in the back of your mind, and when you need an answer for something, just ask yourself, what would love do now?
If you maintain that level, that's wonderful. But I think what happens is when people say around you get angry and you question it, they'll say, I can't help it. That is me. And they haven't reached that point where they can actually question what brings it about.
Yes. Yes. They're just living on autopilot. That's the way I know, because that's the way I lived for a long time. You know, you have these automatic reaction modes, and so as soon as you see something taking form, you automatically go into the reaction that you had, you know, last time it happened. And it's really, once again, I say, it's all a matter of choice, except, you know, unfortunately, you're making those choices so automatically that you just think that, well, that's me. I can't make any choices. But, you know, here's the deal, Mike.
I suppose I'll learn in time. Now, Richard, as before, we're having such a good conversation and a good time here. Time is actually racing away. And
I look at my clock and go, oh, this is too fast.
Well, I've got minutes left here, and one thing I've got to do, can you quickly tell me how is your website coming along, and would you like to tell our listeners about your e-book, where they can get it and so forth?
I would love to, yes. You know, I have a couple websites. My main website is richardblackstone.com, and that's a pretty full one. But I've also got a website called nutsandboltsspirituality.com, and you just spell that out because that's the name of my book.
Yeah.
And if you go to that website, then you can actually get a free ebook I have there. It's called The Three Simple Immutable Laws of the Universe, and we talked about them early in the program. You know, love, oneness, and creation. But this ebook really goes into detail. It's a great little book, and you can just download it right then. So that's nutsandboltsspirituality.com.
Yeah.
And then I also started a blog site, Mike. It's called createonelove.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, that comes from my three principles, love, oneness, and creation.
Is that up and running? Is that up and running then, that one?
It's up and running now, so...
Okay. I think that may well cover it from your point of view. Is there any last message you want to give out to our listeners?
Yes, there is, Mike. There's always one I love to give out, and just for everybody out there listening, please, if you do one thing from listening to this show, let it be this. Go to your mirror and look at that beautiful image that's coming back at you, and just tell yourself that you love yourself unconditionally.
Yeah.
And even though that may be hard the first time, if you keep it up for, just try it for 30 days. And believe me, at the end of 30 days, you are going to see dramatic changes in your life. Because you are this beautiful spirit, and just love who you are.
That is a wonderful message, Richard, and on that note, I will have to thank you for coming onto the program again. It's been an extremely interesting time. So thank you very much. I will now
I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you again. I just can't thank you enough for having me on.
It's been very interesting. I'll just mention quickly to our listeners who we've got coming up next Friday. And it's Diane Mardell, who is a nationally known sound healer, recording artist and author. And she uses the Himalayan bowls, also known as the Tibetan bowls, in her sound healing. So I think that's, again, going to be a very interesting interview. So thank you for being with me for this program. And I hope you'll be with me for the next one. And I will conclude by saying God bless you all. Thank you very much.